In the first quarter of 2024, over 600 CEOs stepped down. Boeing, Starbucks, Paramount, PayPal all saw their CEOs resign or get fired.
Breaking news from Boeing CEO Dave Calhoun will step down at the end of this year.
John Donahoe is going to be leaving the company.
At Starbucks, the company says that its CEO is stepping down immediately.
But why are all these CEOs stepping down or being fired? What does it mean for those CEOs that remain? And could Google Sundar Pichai be next? As it turns out, there's a reason for all of this. I mentioned a few big-name CEOs just now, but there are many, many more who resigned or were fired. John Donahoe from Nike, Stephen Scherr from Hertz, Martin Ferland from Mercer, James Gorman from Morgan Stanley, Kaz Kobayashi from Warner Music Japan, and most shockingly of all, Jim Ryan, CEO of Sony Interactive Entertainment, retired after 30 years with the company. Shortly after Jim Ryan's retirement, other Sony executives followed suit. Hiroki Totoki, President, COO, and CFO of the Sony Group, left in April. CEOs do resign and leave all the time. That's normal. But 2024 is different. In the first quarter, 622 CEOs left their positions, 27% more than the previous quarter, and 50% more than the first quarter of 2023. This is a record high. Just looking at the data, you can see how absurd this spike is, and as a consequence, how drastic the drop-off is in the second quarter. After that, things go back to normal. Overall, exits are up 50%, but some industries were hit particularly hard. Consumer products saw a 133% increase, pharmaceuticals a 200% increase, and in the industrial goods manufacturing sector, a 367% increase. And it's not just big companies that are experiencing this. Governments and nonprofits had a surge of CEOs and leaders leaving in the same period, a 78% increase from 2023. Why this sudden surge in this one quarter? Well, there's a lot at play here, specifically three big factors. Let's go through each and find out how they caused the largest exodus of CEOs we've ever seen. The economy is in a paradoxical situation. The S&P performance is at an all-time high. GDP and corporate profits grew past expectations and were both up from 2022. But there's a flip side to this. Supply chains are faced with massive challenges, particularly in energy and food. Most economies have been experiencing cost of living crises as prices and interest rates continue to rise, and consumers are more reluctant to spend money. So, what does this mean? Well, amidst all the chaos, one group has quietly gained power. This turned out to be the perfect storm for them, and now they're directly targeting CEOs. This group is activist investors. Like regular investors, they acquire shares in public companies, but they have a different focus. Firstly, they usually acquire massive shares of a company. Their priority isn't on passive returns. They acquire shares to change the way a company operates. They will campaign, sometimes aggressively, for a new CEO, changes to a strategy, operations, and much more. They sometimes even attempt to plant their own representatives on the board of directors. Usually, this is to increase value, often in an underperforming company. But sometimes it's for social or political reasons. The most important detail is that activist investors are all about fast and sweeping changes. So, why does this matter? Because 2023 was one of the biggest years for activist investors. 2023 saw a record high number of activist campaigns, 252. This then surged up further in early 2024. So, why now? In the past couple of years, several new laws and regulations gave these investors more freedom. Plus, many activist investors come from hedge funds, which have reached record highs with billions in extra cash. They now have the capital to push their campaigns and make real change, and their message to CEOs is clear: deliver value or face heightened scrutiny. But there are risks to this approach. Boards should be cautious about overemphasizing short-term results at the expense of long-term strategy and sustainability. Many companies see CEOs arrive to drive up share prices in the short term, only to leave with a big bonus while the company suffers long term. Now, With activist investors often pushing for short-term results, we might see even more of this. This has already driven out many CEOs who supposedly aren't performing as they should. For example, the CEO of Starbucks was recently replaced for this very reason, usurped by the former CEO of the now-thriving Chipotle, Brian Nichol, with the hope he can do the same for the coffee chain. In fact, they're so enthusiastic about Nichol that they gave him a $113 million salary. One thing is clear, investors are becoming more aggressive, more demanding, and less forgiving. But not all CEOs are moved like this. Many of them have been resigning at free will, which brings us to the second force we need to talk about. In 2019, the average age of CEOs across different industries is 59, older than any other executive role. Why does this matter? Because this puts most CEOs into one group, the baby boomers. Around the same time, the data showed that 80% of S&P 500 CEOs are baby boomers and one-third of that group is 65 or older. Comparatively, Generation X holds less than 10% of CEO positions in the S&P 500. But this is changing. Right now, an average of 10,000 baby boomers are hitting retirement age every day. Gen Z is expected to outnumber the baby boomers in the labor force for the first time in history, and we can see the trends. By 2022, about a third of newly appointed CEOs were younger than 50, double the amount from 2018. The average age of CEOs is also dropping, now down to 54. We're in the middle of a generational shift. Baby boomers are retiring, with Gen X, millennials, and even Gen Z moving into the CEO positions. But it's more than just age. As the markets become more technologically focused, many companies want a fresh, younger perspective on how to appeal to customers. The craziest part is that this is likely a small sign of something much bigger. A huge proportion of CEOs are still in their 60s, and the ones still around are staying longer. So an even bigger exodus is inevitable, with even more CEOs moving into retirement. But that's for the future. Why the sudden surge in 2024? Well, as it turns out, there's another obvious driving force, one that affected the entire world. Activist investors and generational shifts are most definitely at play, but there's also an underlying effect that we're still experiencing, the pandemic. But the pandemic was a few years ago at this point, so how is that the reason? Well, such a historic event has ripple effects for years and even decades to come. Just look at the hard facts. In 2020, as the world began to experience the full force of the crisis, we saw a sharp decrease in CEO firings and resignations, 20% down from 2019. And this was just the beginning. Every following quarter, the number of CEO exits fell. Then, this number stayed unusually low, decreasing by 1% in 2021. This seems very strange given how unstable the economy was. Millions of people lost their jobs, so why didn't CEOs? Well, the answer is surprisingly simple. A storm is the worst time to fire the captain. In a time of crisis, companies don't typically let go of their leaders, CEOs most of all. If they did, it would bring all kinds of problems. They would be without a direction in the time when they desperately need strategy and guidance. Laws and regulations were shifting, markets were collapsing, and businesses were going under left and right. CEOs can make or break a company. They can bring it back from despair or run it into the ground. Either way though, the best bet at that time was sticking with who you had. Not only that, hiring a new CEO is an expensive, lengthy process, especially in uncertain times. No one wants to leave one sinking ship where they're at least comfortable and join another sinking ship. But now, the stormy seas have finally settled. The world, although different, has stabilized, at least compared to the pandemic. It's finally safe for directors and investors to replace CEOs to push for even better results. And with the other factors at play, it all makes for the perfect storm for company leadership. So, what does this mean for the CEOs that still remain? Would you like to make videos like this? Admittedly, it's quite a bit of work, but one tool that's made the entire process much easier is InVideo AI. NVIDIA AI was already the leading AI video creation platform with over 25 million users worldwide. But their new update, V3, is finally out and has completely changed the game. It enables you to express and communicate your ideas in the form of stunning videos, the kind you've always wanted to create, the kind you'd be excited to share with your peers, in the most seamless, intuitive way possible, irrespective of whatever skill level you're at. You simply start by typing in a prompt for the video you'd like to create, for example, a strawberry-flavored Coke ad. The more descriptive your prompt, the better, though I'd recommend sticking to 30-second to 1-minute segments so that it renders fast and you don't blow through all your credits. And that's it. From here, you can easily fine-tune your video by just using text commands like add my voice. Unlike traditional video tools with steep learning curves that only solve for parts of your video creation process, NVIDIA is the creative partner that you have always wanted, that removes all friction and makes the process so intuitive and fluid that it disappears, letting users focus entirely on the vision of their idea. You can try NVIDIA AI for free, but if you want to use their generative capabilities, I highly recommend that you go for the generative plan that starts at $96 per month. It is the one that I have, and it gives you the most bang for the buck with 15 generative minutes. If you're already an NVIDIA user, you can simply go to the add-on section and buy generative seconds. Thank you to NVIDIA for sponsoring this video. The CEO of Google, Sundar Pichai, has faced some of these pressures. Google lost $96 billion in value with their Gemini AI disaster, and some experts predicted he would face the exact same fate, but he has held on to his role. That being said, he has had to pivot his strategy. Instead of trying to add AI into everything, he's doubled down on his strengths, namely B2B products and the cloud, so that he can focus on stronger revenue growth. I think this is a great example of the future of CEOs. The pressure to deliver results is higher than ever. Not to mention, there's far less tolerance for mistakes. They can't just waste billions on the newest, shiniest thing. Even OpenAI recently experienced a massive restructure driven by activist investors. This was after the CEO, Sam Altman, was fired, but then reinstated after conflicts between different investors. Microsoft, a large shareholder, made it clear that they weren't happy with Sam's firing, but not everyone has Microsoft vouching for them. 2024 has shown CEOs one thing: deliver short-term results or get replaced. Whether that's good or bad, only time will tell. If you're interested in deeper dives, interviews with insiders, and exclusive tech analysis, you can sign up to our free weekly newsletter. Links below. But until then, I'm Hari, and I'll see you guys on the next one.